Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden here on The Truth Straight Up, brought to you by...
Brought to you by HappyTrees.co, a great landscaping company that you can buy trees there. They'll deliver them. They'll plant them. Great resource. We use them. So HappyTrees.co.
Great prices. I mean, just everything you'd want.
Right.
And they also do a great job of also... showing you how to keep that tree alive.
Yeah, kind of key if you spent.
And it's not. There are tricks to that, and it's not just endlessly watering it.
That's right. So happytrees.co. Also, Denver Cynogenics and Dr. Julie McKellen. We're going to have, as soon as TJ gets him on the phone, Jay Christian Adams coming on to talk about. He is the president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. And so, TJ, just let us know when you get him. And he's going to be talking about some Freedom of Information Act requests that they've been putting out, which have amazing information. We were going to have Ash Epp on, but she was a little bit under the weather, so she will reschedule for next week. But I see we have Jay Christian Adams with us, president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. Hey, sir, thank you for your time. Appreciate it once again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We talked to you a while ago about a lawsuit you had filed against the Colorado Secretary of State, and we want to get some updates on that. But I read with huge interest, I mean, basically, your Freedom of Information Act request, sort of where it'd be, I think even you called it a behind-the-curtains look, essentially, at what the Democrat plot is regarding elections. So why don't you just kind of talk about some of the stuff that you've been finding out?
Well, I wish it was only a Democrat plot, because then it would be incompetent and screwed up. But this is way worse than that, because what we have is progressive funding groups like the Democracy Fund, progressive philanthropy, teaming up with the FBI, with the Department of Justice, with Department of Homeland Security, a bunch of other left-wing groups, and then a bunch of election officials to set up these structures to influence how our elections are run. And we just sort of stumbled on this through Freedom of Information requests we were asking about other areas.
Well, and they had you referred to it a junket in Denver in May of 2019, right? Why don't you kind of talk about,
who was there?
Yeah, who was there and what's going on?
Yeah, and this particular junket you're referring to was set up by the Center for Election Innovation Research. There's all these different groups out there that are steering the conduct of our elections. And this junket occurred in Colorado, and it had 22 state election officials present. 22 state and local election officials participated, along with left-wing groups, and, you know, they went to go see the Rockies play, and then they spent the day planning. And what this, again, illustrates is all of these structures that are being built outside of the public eye, outside of public funding, outside of laws, to basically influence how our elections are run. And it's not illegal, by the way. It's not illegal. It's just incredibly conniving and brilliant.
Well, if the Republicans do it, they'd figure out some way it would be illegal.
Yeah.
But what federal participation was there?
Well, like I said, the other structure that we found was being developed and involved the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, the Public Integrity Branch at the Justice Department. It involved the Department of Homeland Security. It involved Microsoft Corporation, believe it or not. So it doesn't just stop at the government's, the water's edge. They go all in with corporate America, and then left-wing funding sources like the Democracy Fund and other philanthropy that exists on the left.
Now, were they part of the May Denver meeting, or are they getting...
No, two different issues.
Okay. Okay. Let me talk about the May meeting. So you've talked about 22 state election officials, and were any of these from, were any of these organizations conservative in nature? Any of these election officials Republicans, or was this all progressive?
Like Georgia?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, some of them were Republican, like Ohio and Georgia.
Right.
So, you know, they're very good at trying to find people who are on both sides of the aisle because it gives them cover, right? Yeah. If you were to call them up and say, why'd you do this? They'd tell you it's bipartisan. So having Republicans participate gives them cover. Yeah.
When you say they were planning, talk about what you think or what, you know, your information is that they were planning.
Well, there's no question. There's no question that this is an effort in part, and only a small part, to try to justify things like automatic vote by mail. It's an effort to match these election officials with intellectual leaders in the space, with left-wing activist groups like the Brennan Center, to match them together so everyone's singing out of the same songbook. And if you note, these meetings took place, the one in Colorado in 2019, before COVID. And what happens right after COVID from these very same election officials is a push to vote by mail. So it was a structure that was being built early, a communications and coordination node, if you will, to unify all of the participants in a single approach toward election administration.
Well, going to the other meeting, was that all also in 2019 or early 2020?
Oh, still, yeah, and it's still ongoing. I mean, it's not just one meeting. Keep in mind, article that I wrote about this just scratches the surface. Right. It just references two small little events. There's a whole bunch more that we got through this FOIA of ongoing coordination between these organizations. I just wanted to write a piece that, you know, put this out there so people could understand the basics of what's happening. And that is left-wing money is matching up with corporate dollars, is matching up with election officials, is matching up with the FBI, and they're all getting together and having fun and redesigning how our elections are run.
Well, you indicated it's also Homeland Security, and I don't know who the other ones.
All the great people.
Well, I assume since this is 2019 and early 2020, these are all Trump administration officials, in theory.
Deep state.
Well, but in theory, these were people either appointed by Trump or otherwise appointed by people appointed by Trump.
Well, they aren't appointed by, these are people who have been left over from previous administrations. Okay. These are, you know, the deep state, very few people are appointed. Most people have their jobs for life, and they are there when the Trump administration takes over in 17, and there's nothing you could do to get rid of. And so
as a practical, you know, whether it's the CIA, FBI, they got around the Justice Department, but same with the federal officials in charge of cybersecurity. They're appointed by Trump, although they were deep state in and of themselves. I mean, it doesn't matter.
They actually weren't. Chris Krebs was in charge of CISA at DHS, and he was appointed by the outgoing Obama administration. Chris Krebs, C-R-E-B-S, and he was a leftover that Trump inherited and became enormously problematic.
Right.
And he actually couldn't be gotten rid of. So these people were there when Trump took over, and they were a war the whole time.
Yeah. Well, but it seems like, you know, there's also, who was the head of cybersecurity that Trump fired after the election?
That was Krebs.
Well, I thought you said he couldn't get rid of him.
Well, he did that because of statements that he made. And then I think Krebs sued or went off. And look, you cannot overstate how hard it is to get rid of these people.
Yeah.
If you do, you invite a lawsuit that almost always the courts in D.C. side with the federal employee. And so it's extremely difficult to do anything about it.
Well, we're not going to go off topic. Because if we get another election and somehow they don't manage to steal it, we can't just do the same thing.
And we got to get rid of them.
Where you just say, well, we can't get rid of them. They're ensconced there permanently and they run everything. I mean, there must be somebody who can figure out a theory of taking these people and putting them off to the side, giving them a nice desk in Alaska without a phone.
no internet connection.
Well, or do something.
There is. And I've written extensively about this over the years. I wrote a piece in January of 2016 critical of Donald Trump as being ill-prepared to drain the swamp. And I got a lot of grief from it. Even though President Trump later appointed me 2 times to different things, I almost didn't get appointed because I wrote this piece saying that Ted Cruz was better qualified to drain the swamp because he's lived in the swamp. Yeah. And knowing how the swamp operates is a very, very important skill set. And you're exactly right. The next Republican president needs to know how to drain the swamp. And one of the ways you do that is by moving SES, that's Sierra Echo Sierra, SES employees immediately into undesirable locations, such as, the plains of North Dakota at the Weather Service, the SES employees at the Department of Justice. I trace this out in many articles, but the Trump appointees at the beginning of the administration told me to shut up. Wow. And, they know where the problems were. And I literally got the phone calls telling me to knock it off.
Wow. Well, I mean, and that's what you're revealing is so important. And hopefully, if Colorado gets a Republican governor, they'll address it. I want to have you talk about a little bit is what were they, what were they actually doing? I mean, to me, this sort of seems like the whole Zuckerbucks thing. Maybe that wasn't involved in this, but is where, so you get these progressive groups, they funded, they essentially, we would call it ballot harvesting. They would call it get out the vote, but they use sort of the I would call it corrupt voter registration rules. I mean, does that all work together? So they have all of this information, they figure out who's voting, who's not voting, where to send ballots, where not to send ballots, how to collect ballots, and then how to flood them into the illegal ballot boxes, right?
Yeah, listen, the most important thing I could share with you is that they don't even need to break the laws to manipulate the system. Now, some people think manipulation equal law breaking. It doesn't. There's a space in between the two. And in Philadelphia, for example, they use Zuckerbucks totally legally to go door to door with city employees to collect ballots, totally legal. But those ballots almost always only had the presidential race marked. Once again, totally legal. And they did things like buy ads on urban radio station with this money, urging people to vote by mail, but only targeting a certain demographic. Once again, totally legal. And they're able to win elections that way. And most people naturally say, well, that's cheating. Well, what? They changed the rules of the game in that election. And that's why private money should not be funding government elections.
Well, I guess what I find fascinating is somewhat, the old saying, if you've ever worked with prosecutors, show me the man and I'll get you the crime. There's nothing absolutely legal. Everything is illegal if you want to make it illegal. If that's what they're doing to the January 6th protesters, some of which didn't even get into the Capitol, and they keep them in jail for 8 months. Well, they can't do that. Well, they do it.
Yeah.
And our side go, oh, perfectly legal. Everything's legal. You can invent a crime for it. And you can prosecute people. And if you get the right jury, you can convict them. The idea that these things are perfectly legal is except if they were Republicans. I promise you, if Republicans do this, they would be indicted. They'd be indicted. And they'd probably get convicted.
And that quote you gave is sinister. And it actually came from Beria. Yeah. Who was Stalin's head of the secret police.
Right.
And it shows how where we are right now in this country, where the other side, the progressives, are showing their true colors and law doesn't matter. All that matters is the outcome. And, the guilt and innocence is determined by your political ideology. And that's an extremely dangerous place to be. And we have to devote as much energy as possible of calling it out and fighting against it before we adopt it. And I think that we've seen bloodbaths across centuries occur when that sort of philosophy dominates.
Well, it's a philosophy of the other side, and we will be the blood, except the blood will be ours. You got nobody to save you.
So this was back in 2019 where you kind of uncovered, the only word I can use and like use of this plot, basically, they were working on it then. It seemed to have worked pretty darn well. Any sense of where they are now, or, you know, it's sort of like, you know, or are they refining their tactics? Because, you know, the 2000 mules expose some of it. You're exposing some of it. Any idea? I'm sure they didn't just say, oh, well, that was fine. Now we're moving on to other things.
No, it's become administration policy now.
Right.
It's part of an executive order to fully turn the federal apparatus into a get out the vote effort to do voter registration and get out the vote and encourage underprivileged communities, as they call it, are traditionally discriminated against, historically marginalized, that all the buzzwords they use, communities to, you know, exercise their franchise. So it's been fully weaponized now. And I think it's way worse than the, you know, 2-year-old documents that we're uncovering now.
Right, let me ask you about that, because I know, was it Molly Hemingway or somebody has been, and maybe you guys too, have been working on this thing. So to explain this, so what one of the things that Biden did very early on was to say, and it sounds so nice, right? We want to use our government agencies to get out the vote, only they aren't releasing the documents. I think some Republicans have asked for the documents and they're not releasing them. But talk a little bit about that, because as you said, it's become...
Yeah.
That's the rule, the regulations now, basically.
Yeah, an executive order was issued to have every agency find a way to increase participation and voter registration and voter, you know, participation. And that's exactly what happened. And it's extremely hard to argue against, right? You sound like a, you know, like you're Bull Connor. Oh, no, I don't want anybody to vote.
Right.
So they're very good at what they do. They're very devious. They know how to use the levers of power. And that's exactly what they're doing. And there's nothing illegal about it. You know, there's no per se rule. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Congress has passed laws explicitly stating that it's the policy to increase voter registration and participation. So, you know, you're up against all this stuff. And so it's a very tough circumstance to argue against, and they're using the federal government as a way to register voters.
So our tax dollars.
Why didn't the Trump administration be a little more on the ball coming to the 2020 election when it was obvious the Zuckerbox, everything else, Zuckerbox was not done without publicity?
Yeah.
Because I went back and looked at it. They seem to be, you know, let's hold a big rally. In the meantime, they're, you know, they're,
Joe Biden's not holding rallies, but he's
he's down in the basement, but they're putting out ballot boxes everywhere. Absolutely ballot boxes. They're doing absolutely everything. And they seem to be clueless. I mean, I think Marianne Conway was critical. Kellyanne Conway was critical of, Kushner,
Jared Kushner.
But it seems like the administration...
Look, it's way bigger than that. Look, I wrote the very first article. You can find this. The first article that ever mentioned private money, Zuckerberg money, in March of 2020, the very first one. And I saw it coming back then. Other people I know who work at places like Heritage Foundation and so forth, we saw it coming. We knew exactly what was happening. And unfortunately, there was no response to it. And there was no response to it until after the election. And so,
and now you're election deniers.
Who would have been the people, the administration that should have been responding to it?
Anyway,
well, it wouldn't be in the administration, it would have been in the campaign. And I'm not going to start listing names of people, you know, because this was an extremely devious plan. You guys can figure out who those people are. But, you know, there was just no response. Because look, guys, It's like a chimpanzee seeing a stealth bomber. Okay, this was sophisticated new advanced election weaponry. And most people struggle with even conceptualizing it. Like, most people spend the first 4 days after they hear about Zuckerberg money saying, isn't that illegal? And you tell them over and over again, no, you can give all your estate to the federal government if you want to, but nobody does it because it's stupid. But if you have a different purpose, which is to affect, you know, voting patterns, then it's not so stupid.
Okay,
so it's certainly not illegal.
Wait, let me ask you a question.
No. So we're the chimpanzees, and we're watching the stealth bomber come. And
again.
Should we just play more golf? I mean, is that the key before the rockets hit us? I mean, it sounds hopeless.
It's never hopeless.
Yeah.
Well, the analogy fails when it comes to solutions, because, you know, the trick is to figure out that it's a new device and take a bucket full of sand and throw it in the sensitive engines. OK, I mean, there's ways to adapt, but no adaptation occurred throughout the entire year of 2020 regarding Zuckbucks.
What is the adaption today? I mean, I'm just feeling hopeless. They're too smart. They have the levers of government. They are all powerful. We are pathetic, and it's over. I mean, that's the message I'm getting.
It's not the message I'm giving. Right.
Give me some hope. Give us some hope here.
Yeah, I mean, look, people are aware of the problem now, and I've been in this space for 15 years. If you and I could have a conversation 15 years ago and I talked about election integrity, you probably would have no idea what I was talking about. Okay. Your election process. You'd be like, oh, you mean like Palm Beach, like the election there with butterfly ballots? I mean, like, sort of, that's part of it, but it's bigger than that. You're not in that space you were 15 years ago where I was. So right. Americans understand this now, and that's the first step to combating it. Yeah. Because as someone who's been fighting these fights, you know, for a very long time, I can tell you, we were a voice in the wilderness, and we tried to explain this to people, how process rules make a difference. And they were interested in tax policy and gun policy. And we said, look, we're interested in those issues too, tax policy and gun policy, but the left knows they can win by controlling the process issues.
Right.
And for years, people looked at us with their eyes open. They didn't understand. And now they do.
Well, I mean, I was around for HAVA. That's 2002. Which is a Democratic response to the Chads in Florida. And in then we knew that is bad. They're federalizing the entire thing with the help of Republicans. And that's how you eventually get with Dominion voting machines and you get the entire process. They federalize the process for Democratic massive advantage.
Well, see, I would tell you that there's parts in HAVA that have greatly improved things for election integrity, like the statewide database. That is, and by the way, there's a standard of clean rolls in HAVA that rarely gets used, but is sitting there on the shelf as a weapon for someone to pick up and use, which we've done in Minnesota, by the way.
Right.
This Public Interest Legal Foundation is suing Minnesota using HAVA weaponry that was passed and no one used for 20 years. And so there are things in HAVA that greatly improved elections, particularly the statewide database, because remember, in places like California, the county databases didn't talk to each other, and you could be registered to vote in California 50 times, and there was nobody responsible for cleaning rolls using a statewide database in HAVA.
They set up ERIC, which now makes it impossible to clean up the ballots.
That wasn't HAVA. That wasn't HAVA, though.
Yeah. But
ERIC is a response to what you call the good parts of HAVA, because they're, hey, wait a minute, people are cleaning rolls or doing other things.
So we'll take it over.
We'll take it over.
Yeah, look, I'm glad states are in ERIC. It has problems and it has some sinister elements to it. But without ERIC, you wouldn't have interstate cross-check going on right now.
Well,
you wouldn't have out-of-state deads. In other words, state knows if you're in Florida and you die in New Hampshire, you're going to stay on the voter rolls in Florida without ERIC, because there's no interstate discussion about who died out of state. So there's parts of ERIC that I'm very glad exist. There's parts of ERIC that I'm very worried about. So it's a mixed bag.
Let me ask you about this, though, because it sounds like, Chuck, finally, let me ask you a question. It sounds like some of, though, the hope lies in some of the stuff that needs to happen. As you said, it's already there. We just need election officials who are willing to implement it, right? Which is why we need to get Republicans, or at least people who care about elections, in there.
Well, Pam Anderson?
Well, no, I mean, isn't that true that there are some things there? If somebody were to simply just do it, they could clean things up and put us, and we have legislatures, right, that can say, okay, well, you can't have private funding. You could pass laws. I mean, there are things we can do, right?
Right. And that's why banning private funding is so important. And that's why I'm so discouraged that places like Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin are going to go into the next two federal elections without the private funding ban. That yeah. Zuckbucks and other worse things can play a role in those three states because they have not enacted a ban.
What about the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling today that said that, using ballot boxes like that was illegal because they couldn't do it, the legislature has to do it? Is that kind of thing going to be helpful?
Yeah, I mean, wins are wins. And Rick Essenberg at Will did a great job getting that win. And Will is the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. And so those small little victories are extremely helpful in improving the situation going forward.
Well, where do you see the 2022 election?
We're kind of in a holding pattern right now. Nothing much is going to change about the rules of the game between now and the election. So unfortunately, that's bad news in places like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. It's also good news in places like Florida and Texas and to some extent Arizona and some other places I could, you know, roll off. But so, you know, a lot of good things have happened since 2020. Private funding bans, for example, in Florida, a statewide election crimes office in Florida, because we did a report everyone should read called Safe Harbor at the Public Interest Legal Foundation website, where we found 150 possible election crimes that county election officials referred to prosecutors that the prosecutors didn't do anything about, 150 of them. And so DeSantis set up a statewide election crime office afterwards, and that's a good thing.
Right.
So
I
think we're seeing places where there's improvement.
What about just a couple more questions, then we got to let you go. So heading into 2024.
Yeah, I'm super short on time.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then. Let me just go ahead. Let me just
give us where everybody can, you know, you're fascinating, you're highly knowledgeable. Where can people pick up your works
and help if you need it?
Publicinterestlegal.org. We're the only public interest law firm in the nation devoted totally to election integrity.
All right. Thank you for your time and the work that you do.
We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
That was J. Christian Adams, guys. He's the president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. Yeah, I mean, Chuck, I'm not as and now we can open it up. We got open lines if you want, 888-627-6008. If you're on the law, you know, on Zoom and you want to go ahead and you can either comment or read it, or you can go ahead and unmute yourself and come on too. I mean, I think a lot of the things that we need are there. We just need a Secretary of State, election officials to implement them. And I think, and that's why you see things like Jenna Griswold trying to pass laws that give her so much control in Colorado. That's
why. Do you think Pam Anderson do anything different?
Well, no, I don't. That's why you'd see things like the attacks against Tina Peters. That's why you see things like any kind of conversation like this. We got banned from YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. Any kind of conversation like this, you're called an election denier, and they try to sue you and all of that.
Right.
They're fighting so hard against it. But I think, it's to me, it's great, at least, that groups like this with the Public Interest Legal Foundation are finding out information. They're filing lawsuits like the one in Wisconsin, right? I mean, so there are, I do agree with you, though, the Republican Party, if they don't wake up, I mean, they should be leading this, right? There should be Republican Party lawyers doing this kind of information, not, the Public Interest Legal Foundation.
Well, it's hilarious that we had the Adams County Executive Committee meeting last night, which was a total S show. As the consultants take over the party and destroy it. But this one guy gets up, who I guess is going to run for county surveyor, and tells us that Adams County is incredibly tight. Everything's perfect. And what he doesn't get is that by the time it reaches the ballot, it actually gets into the thing, all the illegal things have been done.
Not even the illegal things, the rigging things.
Well, they're both legal and illegal, but it's not once it gets into the ballot box. So he's going, this ballot box is secure. The cameras don't work and everything else doesn't work and we can't do anything. But he really is convinced, because they convinced him, that everything's on the up and up, because one small section, which is, you know, once you get it into the box, they don't have to corrupt it after that.
No, they're too dumb to get it. Well, here's what, just too dumb. Jacob, I see you there. Did you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, two things. Why don't they ask for a grant from the government to get all the databases of all the states, of both their voter registration and the death certificates, and then just make it one pile and go back and forth and weed out all the dead people.
Because they don't want to.
But they don't want, I mean, that was one
no,
of
the- No. The guy you were talking to.
Oh, Jacob. They've done, if you go to the Public Interest Legal Foundation, they actually have done that in various states. I think they have only so much, but I was reading one of their articles and they talked about, and they're successful about it too when they do it. They don't want to just have the names. They want to be able to file a legal case so they can force the state to take it off. Because you think Jenna Griswold's going to take the dead people off the voter rolls in Colorado? No.
Then she's using data and people, and people are voting illegally because they're dead.
Right.
How does she explain that?
She doesn't.
She doesn't have to. Yeah.
Who's going to ask her the question? Denver Post?
Yeah.
The citizen that has the lawsuit. Any citizen can file a lawsuit against another voter.
Well, Do a class action suit.
You know that would cost the state?
Jacob, that's sort of where I was saying earlier, is that you're right. A lot of the tools that we need are in place. What we need are elected officials, prosecutors, county officials, all the way up and down, you know, who are willing and able to clean things up, because you're absolutely, the tools are there. I mean, you can't have dead people vote. And so all we need to do is have someone willing to say, and a prosecutor willing to say, hey, wait a minute, you got to, you know, like he said, there were 150 crimes that were reported that prosecutors referred to, you know, reported it to George Rockler's office.
Somebody voted an Eagle in another county, and they said, oh, well, that's not illegal because only one vote counted. I mean, that's what you've got. You just had a primary overwhelmed by unaffiliated everything, where everybody who thinks the election was just fine won.
Yeah.
Everyone who thinks that the system is fine won. Every one of them.
The other thing I want to bring up, I forget your guest last Friday's guest. He was calling how the So he was calling how the conservative judges are now because of Roe versus Wade, they're the tough guys now, and so I'm saying, you know, that guy's got a lot of chutzpah, because twice in California the majority voted against gay marriage being put in the Constitution. And twice they went to the Fifth Circuit to get it over, the vote over.
Ninth Circuit.
Five judges versus 3 million voters.
Here in Colorado, the same thing happened.
Yeah.
The same thing?
Yeah.
You know, Ted is a wonderful guy, but all we hear is dictatorship by the judiciary.
They
don't care. It's just whatever argument's good for today, they use it.
I did notice a couple of things this week, that the courts are starting to come back with some of Giuliani's complaints about voter fraud. They are starting to listen to him now. So it takes a while.
Here's the thing, too, that I would point out to all of the people who said no court has ever found. Well, it's because it hadn't heard the case yet. Right. And
they dismissed it.
They dismissed
for lack
it.
Of standing, yeah. Lack of this.
But when the cases are heard.
Standing, that's the name of it.
When Wisconsin, and I think, Jacob, you pointed out in the comments, right? When Wisconsin finally gets around to being heard, the court says, yeah, you can't just have election officials decide where they're going to put ballot boxes.
Well, it was a four to three decision with all the Democrats voting against it. So I promise you, if that went up to the Colorado Supreme Court, which is all appointed by Democrats, they would have said it was fine.
Just to make your weekend happy, I just think, you know, say what you want about Donald Trump and complain and everything, but he got three people on that Supreme Court, and they're changing.
Yes,
Donald Trump is great by my
That's exactly true. All right, Jacob. Yeah. Hey, thanks, Jacob. Appreciate it. Anybody
Happy
else
Friday.
You too. That's right. It's Party Friday.
Party Friday.
888-627-6008. Anyone else on Zoom want to weigh in, or you can type in your comments. Well, I think, though, I agree with you in terms of, I don't understand why, if you're a Republican candidate, you think somehow you can beat that the system that the Democrats have got in place. Because all they did is they're fine tuning it now, right? They're telling the people, they're not telling the mules, you know, don't be a mule anymore. I guess that wasn't good. They're just saying, okay, leave your cell phone at home because they're tracking your cell phone.
Right,
they're
right.
saying, don't wear gloves and take them off on the camera. I mean, they're just getting it better.
Wear thinner gloves.
Yeah, wear thinner gloves. Wear, I don't know, something. I mean, they're not saying, well, that worked great for us, so now we're going to go away. And any Republican who ignores this and thinks that somehow, oh, it's not going to affect my race, I think is crazy. And I agree with you. That's like in Adams County, it's clear because we're seeing it happening. It's happening in real time. They're having junket meetings in Denver. You got to wonder why Denver, and they went to a Colorado Rockies game. So let's just say you're having a junket and you want to take all of your people who you're plotting this election corruption with, and you want to go, we need to see the Rockies. I don't think so. If I was planning a junket, I don't know that I would base it.
What else are they going to do?
I'm just saying that.
I mean, they can visit the gay bathhouses. They can do other stuff.
No,
but
I'm just wondering why Colorado. We know that Colorado.
Why Colorado? Because the Democrats control the state. They control everything.
Right. And it's,
why Colorado? Why not Colorado?
That was a rhetorical question. It's the model, right? It's a blueprint,
yeah,
Colorado.
It's just how to rig a state.
Exactly. And so Republicans need to. All of them wake up. I know. I hope that they will. I'm going to read some of the comments here. This is from Jim. If you're unaffiliated, what right should you have to decide on a party's candidate? You just pick the general election, run your own candidate if you want something different. Well, exactly, Jim. I mean, that's why the whole concept of this open primary is ridiculous. And it is. You end up having people who are not, like I say, it's like letting the other team be your draft, pick your draft choices in the NFL. Why would you
Oakland
do that?
Would love to have the, you right. know, pick the Broncos. In fact, I think they do.
Hey, but since it's Party Friday, we want to have a little bit of fun.
A little fun.
First, I want to talk, we have that video, but it got screwed up somehow. But if you guys haven't seen it, just as Rev would say, search it up. Joe Biden. So Joe Biden is delivering his really nonsense speech.
Executive order
on abortion, in which he did really absolutely nothing, but he had to do something because everyone was screaming at him. And so then he's reading, and the way it works in TV, you have a teleprompter, and the teleprompter's rolling here, and it rolls at about eye level, and just a few lines up on the screen, so it's pretty easy to follow. And Joe Biden is reading it, but it's like that, what's that, Anchorman with, where they say, he'll read anything you put up there. Mm-hmm. So he's reading along about all this serious stuff, and then he says, end of quote, repeat the line. He didn't repeat the line.
No, but then he repeated the line.
Well, and what it was is he was reading the, the anchor, the directions on the teleprompter,
right.
Which is, you just don't do. I mean, you
yes,
know.
Yes, you do, if you're senile.
Well, if you're senile.
Sure you do.
Because they're clearly marked. They're clearly different from other, the way the rest is written. And it's not like he hasn't read a teleprompter. But what's most telling about it, and when you listen to it, pay attention to that, he keeps the same inflection. So it's clear he's not even paying attention to what he's reading, right? He just doesn't change his inflection, so he's fine with that. So that's kind of goofy. This is, now that I've got cataract surgery, I can get a better view of Chuck.
Perfect.
Jacob. Good there we go. There we go.
Excellent.
The teleprompter guy needs to write Go MAGA. Exactly, Leo. Somebody was tweeting that the teleprompter guy is really the president. So that was kind of fun. Another kind of fun thing, and Chuck, you listened to the whole thing, was a poor former New York Times reporter decided he tried to interview Tucker Carlson. Here's another thing I can tell you from years in the industry. Newspaper reporters, well, back when they were good reporters.
When they had newspaper,
actual journalists, you know, many of them would realize you never wanted to interview a TV person live, because TV people are used to being live and they just can handle it a lot better. And if you're a newspaper reporter, you write down what you want to write down, right? You don't see, you don't see the stuff where you ask a stupid question and the person says, that's a stupid question. So we did a really bad, humiliating an interview with Tucker Carlson, which, first, why would you even do that?
Well, wait a minute. There's two things.
Go ahead.
One, because they're trying to stir up a new media service called Semaphore. Two, it was a coup for them to get Tucker because all the rest of them were Washington Post, boring nothingness. And this was the big one. And Ben Smith, if you'd watched him before, and I have watched him before when he was part of Daily Beast and other things, he's pretty good. He's pretty, which shows you how great Tucker really is, because he comes across as a fool in this one. And he just
what he does is he pulls weird things from extremely progressive, no one even listens or watches media organizations. They call Tucker
Media Matters.
Who reads Media Matters, right?
I mean, the people who got us fired read it.
Well, right, but not people.
But they don't need people.
Right. So it's all just sort of fake news. And so it's fake news generated that said Tucker Carlson is a racist and a white supremacist. And he's like, I just want to give you an opportunity
to respond
to this nonsense, right? And so if we could please play Tucker one, Thomas.
Beating on poor Ben Smith.
Yeah.
Does that sound racist to you? You just suggested I'm a white supremacist.
I found that clip disturbing. I think the language of replacement theory is like specifically the language used by neo-Nazis to recruit people to their cause. It has been, obviously, I'm not suggesting some straight line between words and actions, but it is the phrase that has been used by mass shooters. I wonder, you don't have any compunction or regret about popularizing that?
This is why you are considered correctly a propagandist and not a journalist, because I just explained in detail, with total sincerity, what I believe. You ignored it and invoked mass shooters. So that's not what you
I
just
asked
did.
You how you felt about it. I actually do want to ask you about something. I'd like to ask you about something that actually I think we probably have more common ground on.
This is revealing how ridiculous you are, and I think it's evident to any fair person watching.
I guess I'm trying to give you an opportunity to respond to things that have been said and written about you, but let's move to something that I'm really not looking to have a
Does this sound like racist ideology? And you're like, I'm disturbed by the Media Matters clip for 8 seconds. Are you being serious?
And then he goes on to, they're afraid that Tucker Carlson's going to run for president. We have this too. And this is also funny. If we could play, please, Tucker number two.
Okay, and that's true.
So you're not running?
I'm not running.
I don't want to belabor
I'm a talk
that one.
And I enjoy my job, by the way. And what a blessing it is to say what you really think. Like, only women can get pregnant. I dare you to say
you,
that.
You did an interview recently.
And he's right. He couldn't say only women can get pregnant. He'd get fired if he said only women get pregnant. I mean, that just shows so many things. One, it just shows, you got to wonder, do they not pay attention to the polls that show, like, almost literally no one trusts them? No one trusts them.
I brought
them.
That up.
Yeah.
And another part of the interview, he says only 11 people trust the media. And then he says, don't you feel a responsibility to increase the trust in institutions? And you kind of go, that's not our job to build up you and the left-wing media so more people trusted it. I mean, it was hilarious.
It just shows how ridiculous they are. And as Tucker Carlson said, it's like, you're making the argument for us. You're why no one trusts us. And I'm why everybody listens to me. And to try to, he says, Tucker Carlson popularized replacement theory. It's like, what? It's like, Tucker Carlson probably wishes he had that much power, but he doesn't. But
it was a great interview. And Ben Smith got crushed. And I tell you, I've seen him before. And he wasn't so awful. And he was pretty good, which shows you how great Tucker is. But even the left-wing media, after this clip came out, his interview with Semaphore, they all said, you can't interview Tucker Carlson. It's just,
it's
no
wiggly.
Good. It's not going to work. And we'll make fools of ourselves. So stop it.
And here's the thing. Tucker does it. He does it brilliantly by just being honest, right? He says, no, I love my job. It's like, I can say what I really think, like only women can get pregnant. Can you say that? I dare you to say that, knowing full well that the guy isn't going to be able. If I were Tucker, I just would have let that breathe a little bit more there.
Well, he did. he did point out I said it. I mean, it was hilarious. And then at the very end, he kind of goes, well, thank you, Tucker. like a beat dog.
You won't be coming back. Well, kind of like when Piers Morgan interviewed Donald Trump, right. And then they tried to edit it out, yeah, and Donald Trump was like, okay, I'll just go ahead and release it.
Yeah, actually, I taped it too, and here it is.
You'd think,
and Piers Morgan got crushed.
Right. Although in Piers Morgan way, he just bounced back and he pretended like that never happened. He's like, although his show is not doing well.
The problem with replacement theory is you need three progressives to replace the conservative. Actually, the problem with it is the Hispanics are now voting against the progressives.
Yeah. That's the problem. Here's the thing. You're right. They're going to be building that wall any day now, because all of a sudden they're like, wait a minute, you know. But again, that's what goes back to what J. Christian Adams was talking about. This is my concern, that what they're doing is they're getting these people's names, information, registering them to vote. And then, of course, they disappear right in the country. Sorry, no one knows where, right? They're like, don't worry, we'll just vote for you, right? I mean, that's what they want, is they want data.
They don't want them actually voting.
They don't want them actually voting, because that's
they might have
some
views that don't go with it.
No, they just want to have the names in a place to, you know, someplace they can have the vote sent. And that's why it was interesting just when he was talking. And I really encourage you to go to the Public Interest Legal Foundation and look at, they have all kinds of articles up there. But when they talk about, and as you know, 2019, they're having meetings in Denver coordinating between corporations, Democrat, progressive dark money, federal agencies, all of which, you know, how to get out the vote. Well, it's not really get out the vote, it's get the votes or get the ballots, right? And then, I mean, like I said, they call it get out the vote, we call it ballot harvesting.
Well, it's they're so far ahead of the Republicans, and the only problem is Jay Kushner. He accurately describes a stealth bomber, but there's very little how the chimpanzees.
Chimpanzees,
how the chimpanzees take it down.
For those of you who, it's not really funny, I'm sorry, who weren't there at the beginning, he compared Republicans watching the Democrat progressive election strategy as a chimpanzee looking at a stealth bomber.
It was
going,
about to hit him.
What's that? That's interesting.
That looks like a gutted missile coming from my forehead.
What do we do on that? I'm a chimpanzee. I don't really have a lot of ideas. Oh, what do we do? Let's see, they specialize, okay, this is from Jim Jackson. They specialize in, did you stop beating your wife type of question?
Right.
Exactly. Right. And Julie Ha, there's no breathing with that guy. Leo says, true, Chuck. And then Leo says, how many illegal immigrants can afford an electric vehicle?
Well, they can polish it. They can wash it for them.
Yeah.
They're not interested in electric vehicles for those people. They can use public transportation and wash the progressives. Electric vehicle.
Well, and here's a good thing. You know, I think one thing that all of this has done, even though it's painful economically to be going through it, is expose the fraud of the Green New Deal. Like you said, Europe is getting around that by just calling nuclear energy and natural gas clean. They're now green, right?
Yeah.
Pretty soon, petroleum's
no
going to be green. Diesel's going to be green.
Yeah.
It's because, as I've said,
coal plants.
The problem is
high sulfur coal. Oh, that's great. Brown clouds are good for you.
That's right. Ozone. Don't worry about that ozone anymore.
Ozone layer, and you see that big brown cloud from all the coal burning. It's good for you.
Yeah, that'll be.
You're breathing in green.
That's right, and you're still going to have to pay carbon taxes.
Well, sure,
and all that. Oh, one thing too. Before I go to what I was going to say, this is annoying to me. The other day, I ordered something from Amazon, and I'm looking at it, and there was like in the little receipt, it said plus 27 cent something fee. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Delivery fee or something like that. Courtesy Jared Polis and your Democrat Colorado legislature.
Yes.
Anytime you order from Amazon, DoorDash,
anything that's brought to you by a car or a vehicle.
And exactly. There's now an additional 27 cents
brought to you by your tax cutting, saving governor.
That's right.
I mean, his ridiculousness is getting worse. I mean, I saved 50 ways I saved you money.
And what's kind of interesting is I think those organizations are kind of fighting back a little bit because they're making sure you see it, right?
Yes.
A lot of times
you don't see those fees, right?
You don't notice that, but they're making it clear. No, we're seeing
this
that.
This is brought to you by your favorite.
This is by your favorite governor.
Democrats and Rhino Republicans.
And this is Jim Jackson, best book, Fossil Future by Alex Epstein. Epstein. Okay. Fossil Future by Alex Epstein. Well, and that's what I was going to go is what the Democrats did and the progressives did is they forgot that in transitioning from fossil fuels to all renewable energy, there has to actually be a transition, right? You just can't get rid of fossil fuels.
You can get rid of individual farms and have collective farms. And yes, 11 million will starve to death in Ukraine like happened in the 20s, but it can be done.
Hey, that's all necessary for the liberal world order, Ted.
Yes, sir.
We can't back down now for the liberal world order. So we just
if you want to see something else, go to Tucker Carlson's. He's figured out what happened to that secular monument in Georgia. And it's just hilarious. He has the twerking Rhode Island state senator on top of the monument.
That's pretty funny. How about the Berenson one? This is also from Jacob. How about the Berenson one? That's Alex Berenson who sued Twitter and because they banned him, and he was saying he sued them for doing that and basically was allowed back on. Yeah, and I'm glad he did that. And I understand the only problem I have with that, Jacob, is the fact that he signed a non-disclosure. I mean, one of the good things that I was hoping would happen from this is we would see some of the inner workings and the discovery of how Twitter decided to ban him, right? What they were using, who else they were banning, things like that. That was all going to come out in discovery. And as a result of the settlement, he's back on Twitter now, but he had to sign a non-disclosure agreement, so we can't really talk about it. And he says... He's being defensive about that, saying, no, there's enough stuff he can say. But I'm kind of like, yes, well, all right, but I'm glad you're back on Twitter, but I certainly wish.
And it appears that Elon Musk's Twitter deal is going south.
Well, that's because, yeah, they're like, they are so all bot.
What is a bot? We don't even know a bot.
Hey, listen, that's going to wrap it up on this Party Friday. We have Kevin Lundberg coming on Monday to talk about why are we letting people who are not Republicans pick our candidates?
Well, and deeper than that, I mean, for me anyway, and for grassroots people, we had the greatest time ever in the assembly process. We elect all grassroots people, almost universally, a huge margin. Every grassroots and person lost in the primary, which overwhelmed in some kind of the more unaffiliated voting the Republican primary than Republicans. What do we do? I mean, what do you do for Pam Anderson, the Zuckerbucks person? I mean, are you supposed to go out there and give her some money so she can give it to Zuckerberg, who can give it to Dan Griswold? Yeah. So anyway, he's a leader in the grassroots movement, great guy, and you've had him on before. So he'll talk about what do grassroots have to look forward to in this upcoming election?
And we do. I don't mean to. Don't give up, guys. Don't give up.
No. Julie will be debating Kevin Lundberg on how happy we should be.
Not how happy. Hey, it's Party Friday. Hey,
women are pregnant.
Yeah. Only women can get pregnant. All right. Hey, thank you to the great guys at BBS. You can catch all of the shows, chuckandjulie.com. Love to have you like us and subscribe to us on all of the various formats that we're on. Thank you to everybody on Zoom. I guess we will see you later.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Jay Kirsten Adams. Yeah. I mean, he's just great.
All right, happy Party Friday.
It's depressing.